Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're live at Falls Lake, where search crews are looking for a missing person, where that mission stands this hour.
Plus, a hearing today for a man charged with a deadly shooting that killed a five-year-old girl. Ken Smith is in the WRAL Live Center with the breaking developments.
And we're tracking some light rain right now on live dual Doppler 5000 radar. I'll tell you when this comes to an end and when we'll start to see some drier weather.
Happening right now, dozens of first responders continue to search Falls Lake for a missing boater. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. The boater that disappeared yesterday after a boat crash near the Holly Point campground. WRAL's Eric Miller joins us live with more. Eric, this is now a recovery operation.
Now that's right, Renee. Officials confirmed just a few minutes ago that that's just because of how long it's been since this crash. This crash, of course, happened yesterday just before 2 this afternoon, and the fact that this boater just didn't come home. Now, you take a look at some of this video here, you can get a sense of the scale here. Officials confirming that there are 50 total first responders here on scene, representing 3 different counties and even more agencies. There are 30 people on the water right now. They're both scanning the surface and using the most up-to-date technology to try to peer under the surface of that lake, including underwater drones to try to find this missing person. Now, of course, this all started just before 2 yesterday afternoon with a boat crash. One other person was injured here. We're working to learn their condition, and that other boater, well, they were missing. And if you think about that time yesterday, we had those severe storms blowing in. Rescuers did confirm that that is likely a factor. Take a listen right here.
We can confirm that they were out in the storm, and it was a bad storm. I mean, thunder, lightning, heavy rain. It dumped a tremendous amount of rain at one given time. So we believe that was part of the reason for the accident.
And this search is likely to continue for as long as necessary to try to find this boater. Those first responders, they did have another plea. If you are out here on Falls Lake, you do need to be paying especially close attention. They don't want you to come flying through this search area. They said that can stir up the water, make it even harder to try to find this person. So again, a lot of developing details here. We'll stay on top of all of it, bring you updates as soon as we get them. Michelle?
All right, Eric Miller, live for us this afternoon. Thanks, Eric.
And here in the WRAL Live Center, we're following some breaking news. Murder suspect Brian Luster making his first court appearance this morning. Luster appeared before a judge this morning via video link after 2 delays because he was in medical isolation last week. Now, Luster is charged with first-degree murder, attempted murder, and possession of a firearm by a felon. He's accused of killing 5-year-old Chloe Fennell, his cousin, and critically injuring another cousin, 15-year-old Destiny Sidbury. Now, the family of Chloe Fennell was in court, very emotional, as you might imagine. They listened to the court proceedings. They did not make any comments to the media afterward. Luster was arraigned and assigned a court-appointed attorney. He remains in jail without bond. His next scheduled court date is July 27th. Count on WRAL to stick with this case as we track it through the court system.
All right, thanks, Ken. Disgraced sports doctor Larry Nassar is recovering after being stabbed several times over the weekend during an altercation in a Florida prison. Nassar was stabbed twice in the neck, twice in the back, and 6 times in the chest by another inmate. No word on what caused the altercation. Nassar was sentenced to decades in prison after pleading guilty to sexually assaulting gymnasts and other athletes, including Olympic medalists. The abuse took place when Nassar worked at Michigan State University and for USA Gymnastics.
We'll notice a slight dip in our temperatures today, but expect a few thunderstorms to develop across our southeastern counties this afternoon. Brian Schrader is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now with what's ahead, Brian.
Jeff, right now on live dual Doppler 5000 radar, we are tracking some of those light showers. A little bit of that has moved through parts of Wake County, although it's staying pretty dry north of the I-85 corridor. But areas where we are seeing some rain right now include the I-95 corridor in Rocky Mount and Wilson through much of Johnston County. You're seeing some light showers. Also in the Sand Hills and in our southern southern counties, Fayetteville, Clinton, you're also seeing some light rain this afternoon. Now, I don't think this is going to turn into a widespread thunderstorm situation. I think maybe we have just enough instability that a couple of spots south of the triangle could hear a rumble of thunder, but all of the cloud cover that we're seeing helping to keep a good control of the temperatures and that instability keeps this in the mode mostly of just some light showers. It has rained out at Rocky Mount Mills, but with that live camera, you can see that people are walking around, not seeing any puddles, water, anything like that. So what is reaching the ground is pretty light. But here's a look at all that cloud cover. Everybody in the viewing area seeing it right now, keeping those temperatures down. Right now we're measuring temperatures ranging from 79 degrees in Fayetteville and Rocky Mount up down to 73 degrees in Roxborough, and that's going to help keep our highs in the mid-80s today. We're not going to see those 90s, which is going to feel pretty nice out there. We do have that chance of seeing some light showers, especially in our southern counties, till we get into the early evening, and then a little bit of a clearing trend, and that bodes well for us tomorrow. It's going to feel a lot more comfortable. We'll take you hour by hour through the day today and into tomorrow coming up.
And remember, you can always be prepared for weather like this by downloading the WRAL Weather app. You can get alerts straight to your phone and keep your eye on radar wherever you are.
You'll want to set aside a little extra time for your morning commute tomorrow. More school buses will be on the roads, and some year-round Wake County school students will return to the classroom. School officials estimate about 175 buses will be on the road starting tomorrow. Students will also see some changes when they return. Lunch prices are going up by 25 cents. Full paid lunch will cost $3.25 and $3.50 for middle and high school students. And parents, remember, there are new security measures in place for all visitors on campus. So here's how it will work. Visitors will use an iPad to enter some personal information. That prompts a quick background check. The system scans databases for things like recent custody orders, protection orders, and sex offender registries. This change comes as many districts across the state make changes to improve security.
President Joe Biden kicked off the first full day of his trip to Europe with a visit to London today, where he met with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and King Charles ahead of a key NATO meeting. NBC's Peter Alexander reports from London.
Good day to you, President Biden, beginning his four-day whirlwind trip through Europe, his first stop at 10 Downing Street, meeting face-to-face with the British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. In fact, the sixth time the two men have been together in just the last 9 months. And the president headed over to Windsor Castle for his first visit with King Charles, the president missing the coronation back in May. This in part a makeup, an opportunity to see him after it was the first lady who came when the king was crowned. Then really at the heart of this trip is President Biden going to the NATO summit in Lithuania, which is really just a few hundred miles away from the fighting in Ukraine. President Biden also dousing any hopes by President Zelensky that that Ukraine could be added to the NATO alliance, insisting that Ukraine is not ready for that just yet. But it is notable that the president will try to keep the NATO alliance unified at this key time. And he does face some new criticism from some of the U.S.'s allies after the president's decision to send what they call cluster bombs to Ukraine. Those bombs really spread out explosives in the war zone. They are prohibited by about 100 countries, the fear that they could be a threat to civilians. The president says it's a temporary move, one that he is doing because Ukraine is running low on ammunition. And finally, his last stop on this trip, going to Finland to welcome NATO's newest member to the alliance. That's the latest from here in London. Now back to you.
Peter Alexander reporting there. And we are waiting to learn if a driver will face charges for a deadly accident on Capitol Boulevard. Officers say a man was crossing the busy road there 160 feet from the nearest crosswalk. We're told he was wearing dark clothing. Police say the driver stayed at the scene, and at this point, that driver is not facing charges. Five people are hurt and 15 are displaced after an apartment fire in Fayetteville. This happened this morning in the 6000 block of Jeffrey Drive in West Fayetteville. That's right where WRO's Michael Grace joins us. And Michael, one person said he had to jump from the second floor to make it out.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. Really scary stuff when you hear that. Luckily, that man was walking around this morning is okay. But you can see why. Take a look at that damage right there on that second floor, completely burnt up. This is a two-story apartment building 8 units all with some extensive damage. Red Crosses or was out here to assist those 15 people that were displaced, and they took some time to get this fire under control, and their investigation continues. We've actually got crime tape that's all around here. That's not just any fire tape, and they also have the forensics unit with the Fayetteville Police Department out here right now. So still working to learn more about how this fire started and get updates on those 5 people who are hurt, hopefully talking to some more residents about their experience with that. Jumping out of the second floor, very scary stuff again, but we're going to have some more answers as we continue along throughout the day. Live in Fayetteville, Michael Grace, WREL News.
Your commute could get complicated in Raleigh. Work is underway near the Melbourne Road exit all week as construction crews work on a bigger project. WREL's Kelsey Coffey shows us what you can expect and the changes you need to know for your drive. The Melbourne Road exit here on I-440 West is closed this morning, and it'll be closed throughout the entire week. So if that's something that's a part of your morning commute, you've got a couple of options for detours. Jones Franklin Road, Powell Drive, and Western Boulevard will all be options that will give you access back to Melbourne Road. This is all happening while crews are widening a new section of I-440 West between Western Boulevard and Melbourne Road. Aaron Moody with NCDOT says this part of the I-440 widening project is most needed. He's warning drivers to watch out for crews who are working this morning.
Be wary of the fact that crews are going to be working close to the travel lanes in this area. Just be mindful of the fact that they're out there doing their work for their safety and for yours.
The timeline for construction projects like this are never guaranteed because of weather conditions, but Moody says they're hoping to reopen the Melbourne Road exit by next Monday, July 17th. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News in Raleigh.
Next at noon, the Ukrainian counteroffensive continues against Russia while new information surfaces about a meeting between President Putin and the leader of last month's rebellion near the Kremlin.
Also, a landslide in California. How many homes were damaged and what an expert is saying is the cause?
Also, warning about the energy drink Prime. The questions about how it's being marketed and the dangers in its caffeine levels.
Download the new WREL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Welcome back on your Monday. Time now is 12:13. You are looking live over downtown Raleigh. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. Ukrainian troops continued their counteroffensive against Russian military in the east and south of the country. Today we learned that Russian President Vladimir Putin met with a Wagner leader days after a short-lived rebellion by the mercenary chief and his private army. NBC's Kelly Kobieya reports from Ukraine.
This morning, a symbolic victory for Ukraine. 5 commanders who defended Mariupol to the end are now free and home. They were among the last holdouts in the Azovstal steel plant, surrendering to Russian soldiers in May of last year, and months later handed over to Turkey in a prisoner swap with Russia. They were released after President Zelensky's meeting with Turkey's president, infuriating Russia. A Kremlin spokesperson said Russia was not consulted, accusing both Turkey and Ukraine of violating the terms of the deal, saying the 5 fighters were supposed to stay in Turkey until the end of the war, one already vowing to return to the front. Now 500 days into the war, more than 9,000 civilians have been killed, 500 of them children, the UN says, and more than 6 million Ukrainians have become refugees from their country. This morning, civilians once again paying a heavy price after a Russian bomb hit an aid distribution site in the south, killing 4. On the front line, the Ukrainians say they're meeting fierce resistance, but have made a definite advance south of Bakhmut, claiming Russians are trapped in some places. After hearing President Biden has approved cluster munitions, the commander in this battle near Bakhmut saying, "It will be totally cool. We will be able to use fewer shells." President Zelensky marking the 500th day of the war with this video, showing him visiting Snake Island in the Black Sea, where Ukrainians famously defied Russian orders to surrender at the beginning of the invasion. The president vowing to take back every last inch of land.
That was Kelly Cobiella reporting.
Day four of the Running of the Bulls Festival in Pamplona, Spain, ended with seven people going to the hospital. One thrill seeker tried to shoot a selfie in front of the bulls today, but was smashed by one of those animals. The man was able to jump to his feet and get away. Thousands of tourists come from all over the world every year for the week-long festival to watch runners take on that course, chased by the fighting bulls. The run usually takes 2 to 3 minutes to the bull ring where the run ends. More than a dozen people in California have been forced to leave their homes after a massive landslide. Officials say at least a dozen homes have been damaged so far. During the initial investigation, crews located cracks in several of the homes. One expert speculated the issue may have been caused by water evaporating in the ground. No one has been hurt.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, major honors for two former Carolina Panthers stars. Well, this morning, the team announcing that it will induct wide receiver Mohsen Mohammed and defensive end Julius Peppers into the Panthers Hall of Honor. The recognition will happen at halftime during the team's game against the Houston Texans on October 29th at Bank of America Stadium. Mohammed played for the Panthers for 11 of his 14 seasons. Peppers played 8 seasons. Both returned to the Panthers to finish their careers, and they were always fan favorites.
Thanks, Ken. Well, severe weather across the Northeast is impacting millions. Extreme flooding and heat are taking a toll from coast to coast, all of it leading to more travel delays after what was a hectic and busy week at the nation's airports and on the roads. NBC's Emily Ikeda reports on severe weather across the nation, including flooding and dangerous heat.
Overnight, a string of dangerous thunderstorms slamming the Northeast, washing away cars and collapsing roads.
That's insane.
27 million people now under flood alerts across the Northeast, from eastern New York to New Hampshire.
A lot of traffic, a lot of water.
Oh my gosh.
Torrential downpours leaving drivers stranded, like this apocalyptic scene in Orange County, New York, which is now under a state of emergency.
We advise Main Street and the traffic circle is completely underwater. I got a car going down the river.
Rain totals there reaching nearly 8 inches, creating hazardous sinkholes in the road. As the sweeping storms turned catastrophic, officials say one woman was killed trying to evacuate her home. The National Weather Service in New York urging residents to avoid the roads, warning stay away or be swept away. Drivers dealing with swamped roads throughout the region. In Pennsylvania, nearly 10 inches of water left vehicles submerged.
Bro, I just watched my car just swim away.
While parts of Connecticut were hammered by about 5 inches of rain in just over an hour. And it comes as Americans in the South and West are dealing with the extreme heat that's been baking the region. And Southwest temps are expected to stay between 105 to 120 degrees this week, including in some parts of California, where another disaster struck in Los Angeles County, a massive landslide causing evacuations of homes in Rolling Hills Estates. While back east, residents look for rescues as a deluge of devastating weather wreaks havoc on the region.
That was NBC's Emily Ikeda reporting. A woman in Arizona is recovering after getting trapped in this 7-foot hole. The woman was walking to her mailbox when she fell right into that hole. It's unclear how the sinkhole was created. A crew did use a rope to pull her out. She was taken to the hospital, but her condition this afternoon is unknown. Hopefully she is doing okay.
We've been topsy-turvy weather all around the country over this last week. Hopefully we're on the downside of it here. Brian Schrader's in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with a look. We still have some showers to our south.
Yeah, we're still watching this on live dual Doppler 5000 radar. Everybody pretty much under clouds right now, and some of those clouds dropping some light showers, mostly along and south of the US 64 corridor. We're going to head out to the east here, take a look at Rocky Mountain Wilson, where you're seeing some light rain right now, on down 95 into Johnston County, along Smithfield, down toward Dunn and Benson. You're seeing some rain also in the Sand Hills this afternoon, heading out of Southern Pines toward Rayford and into Fayetteville, seeing some light showers. And through much of Sampson County, you've seen some light rain. Taking a live look downtown in Fayetteville on Hay Street, there's the WRAL newsroom. And you can see that even though we are seeing those returns on the radar indicating some showers, it's not that wet out there. So where it is raining, it's very light rain, maybe just leaving the ground a little damp. Let's take a look at Futurecast, take you hour by hour through the rest of the day and into tomorrow morning to see what we're expecting. And it looks like the best chance of these light showers is going to remain south and east of the triangle. 2:45 this afternoon, pretty good chance of seeing some light rain in our southern counties. And then as we head into the late afternoon and early evening, around the time of the evening commute and dinner time, we start to see some clearing. There's a boundary that's draped over the state. To the east of that boundary, we're seeing very humid conditions. To the west of it, a little bit drier air, fewer clouds, and that's pushing from west to east. And as we head into the evening hours, we'll see that clearing trend, and behind it, we will see some drier air as we head into tomorrow. You see, overnight, nice and clear, temperatures are going to drop down into the upper 60s for tomorrow morning. Here's a look at that big picture, and where you see the green, the darker green, that's where we're seeing the most moisture in the air. And putting this into motion, that really humid air pushes off to our east as we head overnight. And for tomorrow, we set up with a little less humidity. You're going to notice that. This afternoon, you will not notice it. It is sticky out there. Right now, the dew point, which is a measure of moisture in the air, is up at 68 degrees, and that's pretty steamy. But with that drier air tomorrow, we think we're going to top out in the low 60s, which is in the tolerable category. It's going to be hot tomorrow, but it's not going to feel that bad. Going to feel nice for this time of year. However, as we head toward the rest of the week, we're going to start to see the heat and humidity returning. And as we head into Friday with that heat index above 105, maybe up to 107 degrees, we could be in heat advisory territory there. We'll have to wait and see. Also later in the week with that heat and humidity, our chance of afternoon and evening showers begins to increase. Looks like a hot weekend.
All right, thanks, Brian. Coming up today on WREL, UNC Chapel Hill leads an expedition to uncover ancient artifacts. They found these mosaics buried in Galilee. We hear from professors and students that found them. That's tonight at 5:30.
And then tonight at 6, 5 on Your Side investigates local governments sidestepping responsibility in car crashes, the loophole that can get them off the hook, and how often they use it. Plus, still ahead this noon, bargain hunters beware. We'll tell you how to avoid Amazon Prime Day scams. Plus,
I believe the humanoid robots have the potential to lead with a greater level of efficiency and effectiveness than human leaders.
Wow, the future, it's now. We'll take you to the first AI-powered news conference where the droids say humans and robots can work together. Amazon is warning customers to be on the lookout for scammers during one of its biggest sale events of the year. The Federal Trade Commission says one in three people reported scam attempts relating to Amazon Prime Days back in 2021. Scammers may send emails or text messages asking them to download software, make payments over the phone, or even buy gift cards. Amazon says customers should only make payments through its app, website, or physical stores.
Users may be spending less time on ChatGPT. Traffic for OpenAI's public version of the chatbot dropped by more than 9% in June. It's believed to be the first time ChatGPT saw a decline in its user base. The data also found other chatbots like Google Bard and Microsoft Bing also experienced a decrease in recent months. Apple is experimenting with large iMacs, including a 32-inch version. However, development is in the early stages, so it's unlikely that we will see a larger version before the end of next year. It makes sense for Apple to work on a bigger iMac. Experts say they're better for creative types, allowing them to see tiny details in their work.
You're looking at a live picture from the Deep app right now. Rain is possible tonight across parts of the Triangle. Meteorologist Brian Schrader returns in 15 minutes with a look at your forecast. And before we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Brian Lester had his first court hearing today after two delays last week. Welcome back this noon. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. The 42-year-old is charged with killing 5-year-old Chloe Fennell and seriously injuring her cousin, 15-year-old Destiny Sidbury. WREL's Monica Casey was there in the courtroom. Monica, what's the latest here?
Well, Lester has been assigned a court-appointed attorney, and he has no bond. He was not here in the courtroom in person today. He appeared via video link from the jail. The family of Chloe Fennell was here in court. It was an emotional scene with Chloe's mother, Brittany, at one point asking about the man who, quote, killed my baby. She and other family members declined to go on camera outside the courtroom here today. You can see in this video, they left for a meeting with Durham District Attorney Satana DeBerry. They hosted a balloon release last Friday outside the home where Chloe was killed. Her cousin Destiny is stable and is now recovering. Lester's next court appearance will be later this month. Michelle.
All right, Monica Casey live in Durham. Thanks, Monica.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, we want to give you this live look at President Biden having just arrived in Lithuania for the NATO summit. You see him greeting well wishers there at the airport. It's been a rather busy day for the president so far. Earlier, the president was in the UK meeting with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. The two leaders discussed a number of major topics, including the war in Ukraine. That's looks like Secretary of State Antony Blinken right there leaned over on that, talking to some youngsters right there. The president also met with King Charles at Windsor Castle, where he was received in an elaborate ceremony. Now, this NATO summit in Lithuania begins tomorrow. Here again, the war in Ukraine will be a major topic of discussion among NATO leaders. Now, the president will wrap up this international trip in Finland, NATO's newest member nation.
Thanks, Ken. Police are looking for the person accused of shooting a man in southeast Raleigh. That shooting happened just before 10 last night on Ashburn Court near Rush Street and Garner Road. Police say the man who was shot was taken to Wake Med and is expected to survive. There's no word on what led up to that shooting. Raleigh police are also working to make an arrest after a shooting near the Walmart on New Bern Avenue. The shooting happened around 9:30 last night. Police say the man who was shot was taken to Wake Med as well and also is expected to survive.
Tens of thousands of people in Wake County will get access to better health care through Medicaid expansion. Today, the county is taking steps to help make that happen. County leaders say they need to hire more than 70 new people to work in the Human Services Department. Those new positions will be able to get eligible people signed up for Medicaid as quickly as possible. The county anticipates it'll need to process about 50,000 new Medicaid applications.
The bottom line is that access to health care is critical. We know it has a ton of benefits. It realizes savings in other areas. It allows health care providers to make ends meet. It creates a healthier workforce and even saves lives in the long run. But it does mean that we've got to prepare for the additional influx in folks.
Today, the County Board of Commissioners will discuss how to begin filling these positions. The cost will be about $5.3 million. More than $3 million will be paid for or reimbursed by the state.
Today, we'll get our first look at the plan to reshape voting and election laws across the country. House Republicans are expected to share a proposal designed to improve security that includes post-election audits and checks on your eligibility to vote. It would also loosen reporting requirements on the finances of political parties and nonprofits who support candidates. Democrats, meanwhile, are expected to unveil a competing bill in the coming weeks that sets federal voting standards and restores protections under the Voting Rights Act.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Wilson, Halifax, Durham, Orange, Person, and Alamance counties. In Wilson County, we have a road closure to tell you about. DOT crews will close a stretch of U.S. 301 near Kenley tomorrow morning. The highway will be closed in both directions near Acock Crossing Road. They're upgrading the drainage pipe that goes under the highway. The work is expected to be done by July 25th, and detours will be posted. If you drive through that area, the detour will make your commute just a little bit longer. And the Halifax County School System is looking to hire more teachers and bus drivers. The school system is hosting a job fair until 1 p.m. In addition to teachers and bus drivers, officials will also be looking to hire custodians, nutrition workers, and more. The job fair is happening at the school system's main offices on U.S. 301 in Halifax. And the first of three information sessions is happening today for local artists interested in applying for grants. This is for those of you living in Durham, Orange, Person, or Alamance counties. It's for the Artist Support Grant. It provides direct support to individual artists that were impacted by the COVID pandemic. The grant was created by the North Carolina Arts Council. The virtual information session is set for 6 p.m. You do need to register. You can visit durhamarts.org for more information.
Move over, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. There are two huge lottery jackpots up for grabs in the next couple of days. If you could somehow snag both, you'd have more than $1 billion. NBC's Jesse Kirsch is crunching the numbers from Chicago.
Two big jackpots up for grabs this week. We've got a Powerball drawing tonight. The jackpot there estimated at $650 million. Then tomorrow night, there's a Mega Millions drawing. That one's worth an estimated $480 million. So we're talking about a lot of money up for grabs, a combined more than $1 billion. All you need for a ticket like this one is $2. There's a lot you could do with that money. So let's throw some ideas out there. Let's pretend you didn't have to pay any taxes. You took the jackpots. You didn't take the cash up front and you won both of these games. Sounds pretty good, right? Well, by one report from Forbes, you would actually possibly be able to buy the Miami Marlins. Not a bad idea for MLB All-Star Week. Here are some tips to keep in mind as well. You might want to consider getting a financial advisor, signing the back of your ticket and taking a selfie with it. And you also might want to consider donating at least some of the money to charity. Hopefully it'll make you feel pretty good and it can help you with your taxes too. Here's wishing you good luck, although I think I've got the winning ticket. Back to you.
We'll see, Jesse.
There'll be a lot of folks arguing that. You can watch the Powerball drawing live tonight on WREL. The next Mega Millions drawing is tomorrow night. Again, that's 11 o'clock live on WREL.
Just ahead for us, trying to get rid of that pesky headache. We'll forget the Advil. Mother Nature might have something better for you. We'll tell you about the latest painkillers that are made from trees.
Also, the latest craze, Prime Energy drinks. But it comes with a warning from officials why the FDA might get involved. That's next.
Many people think that a breast health specialist only treats cancer, but the truth is that these doctors handle a wide range of breast-related conditions. Sonia Goins introduces us to a specialist who explains the numerous benefits of seeing a breast medicine expert.
We might see someone with a breast infection.
Dr. Lauren Cornell is a breast medicine specialist who diagnoses and treats various breast conditions.
We might see someone, even men, with benign breast tissue growth, which we call gynecomastia. We might see someone with fibrocystic changes of the breast, which impact their quality of life, but don't increase cancer risk.
She talks with patients about screenings and checks for any potential cancer concerns. Dr. Cornell says many factors, including family history, contribute to a person's risk of developing breast cancer.
It can also include their mammographic breast density, their reproductive history, hormone exposures over the course of their lifetime. The list goes on and on.
A breast specialist can also provide patients with an individualized cancer risk assessment and then use the information to develop a prevention plan.
It's important to discuss lifestyle factors to lower their breast cancer risk, which would include regular cardiovascular exercise, maintaining a healthy body weight, limiting alcohol, and focusing on a whole food plant-based diet.
That was Sonia Goins. Higher levels of alcohol consumption appear to increase an individual's risk of early onset colorectal cancer. Researchers in Korea found that when compared with light drinking, moderate and heavy drinking were associated with a significantly elevated risk of early onset CRC. Among men, heavy drinking versus light drinking was associated with a 26% increased risk of colon cancer. And among women, moderate drinking was associated with a 47% increased risk of colon cancer.
Nature may have a new source for providing painkillers, and they could be in your backyard or nearby park. Ibuprofen and acetaminophen are usually made from crude oil, but researchers say that process is unsustainable due to expense, political instability, and rising CO2 emissions. Biorefinery processes using turpentine components from pine trees could make that pain medicine. Those ingredients are sustainable, plant-based, and help reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
We should be cautious, but also excited for the potential of these technologies to improve our lives in many ways.
Call it the rise of the robots. These androids say they want to work with humans. We'll take you to their historic news conference.
And a wildly popular drink among kids and teens is being labeled a serious health concern by one lawmaker. The push for more regulation after the break. Robots say they can be more efficient leaders than humans. 9 AI-enabled humanoid robots answered questions from reporters along with their human creators. It was part of the first news conference featuring humanoid special robots. The robots say that humans and AI can achieve great things together and promised not to rebel against their creators.
Don't you think that the best decisions might be humans and AI cooperating together? What do you think of that?
I believe that human and AI working together can create an effective synergy. AI can provide the unbiased data, while humans can provide the emotional intelligence and creativity to make the best decisions. Together, we can achieve great things.
Wow, the robotic press conference was part of the AI for Good Global Summit. The goal was to show how this new technology can support the UN's goal for sustainable development.
I'm scared.
Me too.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is asking the FDA to investigate an energy drink that is popular among kids and teens. Lauren Blanchard explains the growing concern among health officials.
Kids and teens are going crazy for it.
White flavor, yeah?
But these neon-colored bottles are worrying lawmakers and doctors.
One of the summer's hottest status symbols for kids is not an outfit, it's not a toy, it's a beverage. But buyer and parents beware, because it's a serious health concern for the kids it so feverishly targets.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling on the Food and Drug Administration to investigate Prime Energy Drink. Schumer alleges the drink, which comes in various kid-friendly flavors, contains potentially dangerous levels of caffeine.
This has the equivalent of 6 cans of Coke in terms of caffeine.
Social media influencers Logan Paul and KSI launched the beverage brand last year. It quickly took off on social media platforms such as TikTok, prompting long lines in grocery stores. But health experts are concerned because the drink contains twice the daily recommended amount of caffeine for adolescents between the ages of 12 and 18, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics.
The amount of caffeine in these drinks can give children and teens headaches. It can give them jitters, nervousness. It can interfere with the sleep cycle, which is so important to the developing brain.
Schumer says another major problem is that the brand's packaging and advertising targets minors. In a letter, he asked regulators to look into Prime's claims, marketing, and caffeine content.
Wow.
Lauren Blanchard reporting there. And some schools in the UK and Australia have banned that product. Prime says its drink is not recommended for children under 18 years of age.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in trying that. And I was never a fan of those energy drinks. They just make your heart race.
Yeah, and with that, I didn't know they made anything with that much more caffeine than Coke or Red Bull or something.
Yeah, no. All right, let's go over to meteorologist Brian Schrader. He's showing us where we're actually seeing a little bit of rain right now, Brian.
Yeah, everybody under the clouds right now. And in some of those areas, we're seeing some light rain to go along with that. Not so much in the triangle, maybe a few, a little bit of drizzle out there in some spots, especially on the southern side of Wake County. But the more significant rain is just to our south and east along the I-95 corridor. Looks like Rocky Mountain Wilson, you've got a little bit of a break now after seeing some light showers earlier. In the Sand Hills, you're seeing some rain. Looks like a little band of light showers. Hours now moving through Fayetteville as well. I want to take you live to the Longleaf Golf and Family Club there in Southern Pines. And you can see, it might be tough for you to see at home on your screen, but there are little drops here and there indicating some of that very light rain. 76 degrees right now with that dew point at 70 degrees. That is very muggy. It is sticky out there today. I want to take a look at Futurecast. And one of the ways that we kind of judge how these models are doing is looking at how is it capturing the current moment. And this is doing a pretty good job showing that light precipitation, especially in the Sand Hills. As we move through the rest of of the afternoon, it keeps that mostly south and east of the triangle. From Raleigh and Durham on up to our border counties, I think we're probably going to stay mostly dry. But Fayetteville, Clinton, and Goldsboro, you have a pretty good chance of seeing light rain through the day. Couldn't rule out a rumble of thunder in some of those far southeastern counties. But then as we head into the evening hours, we start to see some drier air pushing in from the west. I think that some of us before sunset will see some clearing, especially in our western counties. And then as we head into the overnight hours, everybody sees that clearing and drier air. It's a very weak cold front that's pushing through that is going to help to usher in that drier air as we head overnight and into tomorrow. So for the rest of the day, with those clouds, we're going to keep highs in the mid 80s and just that chance of rain for the triangle area till about 5 or 6 o'clock, and then we'll start to see that clearing trend. Here's a look at the broader picture, and as we head overnight, there's that front pushing off to the south and east, and behind it, high pressure builds in and brings us that cooler, or rather that drier air for tomorrow. Today, we've got tropical dew points out there, but tomorrow, with that lower humidity, it's going to be tolerable. It's going to be 90 degrees. It's going to be hot out there, but it's not going to feel quite as nasty as it has over the past several days. But then as we head into Wednesday and Thursday, we get more humidity in here, more heat, and it feels more like summer. And along with that, a growing chance of afternoon and evening showers and thunderstorms. You know, it's Monday, but let's go ahead and talk about the weekend, right? We're looking at pretty hot weather, it looks like, with highs in the mid-90s and those afternoon and evening showers and storms. Just summertime. Back to you.
That's what it is. All right, thanks, Brian. Well, the movie hasn't even been released yet, but it's already the subject of controversy. Why Nine Dashes could cause the movie to be banned in the Philippines.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. The search for a missing person at Falls Lake has been declared a recovery mission now. That's because it's been nearly 24 hours since two boats crashed. Dozens of first responders representing three counties resumed that search this morning. Officials believe the storms that moved through were part of the reason for the crash.
Disgraced sports doctor Larry Nassar is recovering after being stabbed several times over the weekend during an altercation in a Florida prison. Nassar was stabbed twice in the neck, twice in the back, and six times in the chest by another inmate. No word on what caused the altercation. Nassar was sentenced to decades in prison after pleading guilty to sexually assaulting athletes.
President Joe Biden kicked off the first full day of his trip to Europe with a visit to London today. After a meeting with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, he met with King Charles, their first in-person meeting since the coronation in May. The First Lady represented the couple at that event. The president is now in Lithuania for the NATO summit.
First Vietnam, now the Philippines, may ban the anticipated Barbie movie, and here's why. A background map in the shot shown in the trailer shows a nine-dash dotted line going out of Asia's eastern coast. Philippine officials say it's similar to a dotted China map of its territorial claims in the South China Sea. Warner Brothers called it a whimsical, childlike crayon drawing.
A high school baseball star from North Carolina is now a top five pick in the Major League Baseball draft. The Minnesota Twins picked Walker Jenkins from South Brunswick High School with the fifth pick last night. Jenkins is expected to head to UNC and play this fall. And a Wake Forest pitcher was also in the top 10. The Cincinnati Reds picked Rhett Lauder with the seventh pick. The 21-year-old is a two-time ACC Pitcher of the Year. Quick reminder, you can catch the Major League Baseball All-Star Game tomorrow night, the Midsummer Classic. The Players hit the diamond in Seattle this year. All the action gets underway on Fox 50 at 8 p.m.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Love Mutt's Rescue. Baby is 8 years old. She's a Jack Russell Terrier mix. A fenced-in yard is a plus, but not a requirement. Baby likes to explore her yard to make sure everything is in order, and she loves to go for car rides. She is house and crate trained, but does not need a crate unless children or a stranger comes in the home. Baby should be your only pet. She would be a great companion to one person or an older couple. No small children. You can apply to foster or to adopt on lovemuttsrescue.org.
White House recently hosted a screening of the movie Flamin' Hot, which tells the story of an immigrant's son becoming an executive at the Frito-Lay snack company. But Joe Biden's speech about education in America caught the attention of Republican critics. Today on our News at 4, Paul Spake checks that claim for PolitiFact.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.